Hey, 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 this is the Bachelor Masters coming at you from Los Angeles, except for Caitlin, who's in the D.C. metro area. Last night was the ever-fun Women Tell All.
Boom. I normally love the Women Tell All. Normally a lot of stuff does come out that wasn't expressed well or that was watched back and reevaluated. And in this case, it was super uneventful and absolutely nothing was answered. Maybe they didn't cut it right. Maybe the editors did not cut this right. You know, there was no Kelly there. Right. Did sex happen with Sydney? I still don't know. You guys say yes.
Where did you guys hear that? We still don't know.
Okay, so.
So I was Googling this to be like, where. So it was in a preview a month ago, like at the end of one of the episodes. Somebody was like, oh my God, Peter had sex with Cindy in a hot spring, and then they never revisited it.
Right.
And so I was hoping it would be on this episode, but they didn't talk about that at all. So I guess we'll never know the story.
Right. But there is video proof out there of someone saying that, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta read the Reddit more to be like, who said what?
The esoteric conspiracy.
It definitely was in a preview, and then they have not come back to it. I don't know why.
Maybe it will. Maybe it still will. I guess.
I had a theory about that. It occurred to me when I was getting ready for bed after the episode. I was like, wow, this is a really good theory. It's such a good theory that it would have broke if it were true. That's how I know it's not actually the truth. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
He's cut Hannah Ann. He's about to propose to Madison. And then Chris Harrison comes up and says, we just found out. You with me?
Uh-huh.
It says, Hannah Ann is pregnant. Wouldn't that explain everything?
That honestly should have happened to Peter so long ago. Knowing what we know about him.
What? What do we know? Wait, what? What has he done that makes him any more likely to have impregnated somebody?
I mean, he definitely has sex with a lot of women.
So do
a lot of
women
know about him.
A lot of sex with a lot of women, and most women's fertility is like higher in the mornings.
Wait, hold on.
And then also, if he's just removing a piece of cloth
First of all, we don't know how many people he's had sex with. B, he's had no more sex than any guys I knew back when I was that age.
Well, we have no way of confirming or denying, since we don't know how many people Peter has had sex with. But it does seem like he's an extremely horny dude, so the number is probably sizable.
Okay. Let's go back 15 years and talk to Craig, 26-year-old Craig, and we can talk about horny dudes.
Poor Craig, always trying to live out his youth through The Bachelor.
What guys aren't horny?
Wait, can we talk about Peter's horny parents making out in the back of that SUV? He grew up in a horny household. Now we know what it is.
Yeah.
It's definitely genetic.
Okay, back to my theory here, though. Wouldn't it explain everything? It would explain his shock. It would explain why he was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But reality Steve would have been all over it if it were true.
Well, next week it'll all become clear why this is such a well-kept secret.
Right.
Because I don't understand why they don't do this every time. When this used to happen every time, it was a very exciting show. I remember reading, you know, YouTube comments or whatever. YouTube comments, definitely, but something else that was like, okay, we saw the previews. I see a hand that is obviously not this girl's, so it must be this girl's. And it was so, like, people taking apart, you know, seconds. That is what we need back. And I'm so glad no one's been able to spoil this for anybody this round.
Well, as far as we know. I mean, in classic Bachelor editing, it could be completely nothing.
If Reality Steve is the gauge and our new expectation of The Bachelor is much better than it used to be. Like, when they promise drama, they deliver.
Right.
It didn't used to be that way.
Right. Well, so maybe this pregnancy thing has an edge to it, because that would be something you could keep secret if you're Hannah Ann. It's kind of strange that she would tell she would tell Chris Harrison to tell Peter instead of telling Peter herself. But she would definitely want him to know that before she proposed, before he proposed to Madison. Speaking of Madison, she's the real villain now, man. Whew. She's so manipulative. Madison?
Why?
Wait, where are you getting this from?
It all started, of course, when she waited until she was in the top three in order to tell him her little thing, right? And now she's like, well, you know, I asked you to not have sex with anyone else, and that seemed like a fair thing, but I'm just going to come back and take a rose, and we'll just pretend like it never happened. And then I'm going to set this up so I can be the drama queen for the last couple episodes so I can become the bachelorette. Spoiler alert, she's not the bachelorette. Yeah, if this were 5-6 episodes ago, we would think she's the villain.
You know, consistency sometimes wins. And Hannah Ann has been nothing but consistent. I don't know what the big reveal is going to be.
Wait, aren't we talking about Madison?
We are, but I'm saying that you never know that he's going to pick her in the end based on all the things she's done so far.
I didn't say he was going to pick her in the end.
Oh, I thought you kind of did.
I think he's going to take Madison, but I think she's been super manipulative. Okay, let's talk about what the real issue is. This is the guy that she's going to go all in on. Do I choose my purity or whatever? Do I choose Peter or whatever? No one would choose Peter in that equation. There's lots of better guys out there.
Well, I feel like it's not the choice between like her purity and Peter, because I'm assuming that she's still planning on staying a virgin until marriage. That it's more like, is she going to choose to overlook the fact that he had sex with other people and kind of forgive him for that, I guess. And it seems like she might be forgiving him based on like the little, you know, they do the preview at the end of the episode and they're like kissing and going on a date and stuff. So
yeah,
presumably she's open enough to that.
Remember those TV commercials when we were a kid? They're like, you've had sex with everyone that they've had sex with. Remember those? You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
You've had sex with every one of their partners.
Well, okay. Didn't he seem super sincere?
No.
If a guy hugs, that was Caitlin. I've been thinking I'm not talking
this.
To you, Craig. Caitlin.
I'm going to agree with you for the first time this whole season.
You just said no.
Wait. Listen.
Yeah, you definitely said no, Craig.
Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, I think last episode when we did our deep dive of Madison versus Luke P and you had the audio clips, it was really informative. I think as I look back, she did say, she essentially said, if this is going to be you and me, then please don't have sex with the other two. That, I think, is really the summary.
She didn't say that. You could have walked away and felt that she said that. But she didn't say that.
She was being more ultimatum-y. Okay.
No, that's the problem.
But she has every right to be pissed, though, because she could have said to Peter, look, if you really are in love with me, if Peter knows he's going to pick her, then he shouldn't have had sex with the other two. That's very selfish of him.
I could play you the clip, but what she actually paraphrasing, what she actually said was, oh, it would really be hard for me if you did that.
Right.
Oh, do you want me not to do that? She said, No, I would never ask that.
Right.
So you could walk away with she wanted Peter and us to walk away with the impression that she said that.
Right.
But she never said it because she didn't want to seem ultimatum-y.
Right. So doesn't that make her kind of a villain, manipulative villain?
She's not playing games here? Okay. She is wrestling with something internally. And I guess all villains are. But I'm talking right now about how sincere Peter seems. Are you trying to make us come to your side about Madison being a villain?
I think she's more villainy than we gave her credit for up to this point, based on what I saw of 10 minutes of footage last night. That's all.
I feel like you're really buying into Victoria F's version of events here.
The focus, the first person narrative has shifted to Victoria.
Well, you know, when she didn't get the rose and then she is going home in the SUV and she says, like, I can't remember exactly what she says, but it's basically like, this is Madison's fault that right. I'm going home. And I was just like, that's a wild, like, jump to make, because, like, it's Peter's decision at the end of the day. Like, it's Peter's right. fault you're going home. You know right. what I mean? Like, Madison wasn't, like, holding a gun to him being like, send Victoria home. Like, so I thought it was really saying, funny that, yeah, she was basically
like,
saying
because like, if Madison hadn't showed up.
Right.
Well, I think that was some of it. If Madison hadn't shown up, but what she had said was, like, Madison is, you know, because she gave this ultimatum that she put this pressure on Peter and somehow that forced Peter to pick her and not Victoria, which isn't really a logical right. conclusion from any of that. But yeah, right. that was basically her ending thing was like, ugh, Madison did this to me. It's all Madison.
I love Caitlin's, like, you have one way to talk as if you're all the other women since you've been on the podcast. She's like, you, Madison. And then you're like, yeah. and then Jenny said,
yeah, I think, like, I mean, I'm assuming, like, for me, when I was watching that rose ceremony, and it's like, oh my God, is Madison going to show up? Right. I was like, oh, the minute she showed up, I was like, she's getting a rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just assumed that. So it was then, like, is it going to be Hannah Ann or Victoria? And I don't feel like, I think in Victoria's mind at that moment, it was between her and Madison, and I don't think it ever was, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I like how this whole thing justifies, like, all her credibility in the future going, Victoria F's credibility in the future going into relationship. This is so great for her because she can say, I did love someone. It was right. televised. It gives her so much authenticity. The only thing that mattered is her ego. Like in that, mm-hmm. you know, instance, she didn't cry for him. Even when she was on the Women Tell All, she was like, oh, like, even the way she had a quote that was, I love that boy.
Wait, Caitlin, how was Victoria F during Women Tell All?
She was like, ugh, I definitely am not a marriage breaker-upper.
Right. That's like your air quotes for broadcast, right? That's where the quote starts.
It was cracking up at Chris Harrison being like, have you broken up a marriage?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't help but think about what you said, I think, Caitlin, was it's not the cheaty that breaks up the marriage. It's a very old school.
That's the person in the misogynistic way.
Yeah.
But either way, we don't know what really happened there. She could have actively worked towards making sure.
She tripped and fell and landed on the husband's penis.
Been like, oh, I've been trying to, you know, he's married. I'm going to try. You know, it could be an active, mm-hmm. like, that's about an ego boost for her.
Yeah, it could have been more her really pursuing a married person despite every other, like, you know what I mean? That it wasn't like, oh, they came on to her and she just sort of went for it. That she was like, married person who's married to my friend. I think I will, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, Colton rewarded crying. Like, men do, that's what men do. Very few men don't. I don't understand that narrative of.
Have I ever rewarded crying? Elaborate a little bit. It's easy here because it's like, you're crying, you get a rose.
This is generalizing, but
what's a non-show version of rewarding crying?
I can give you like a for instance, but I can't give you an example of the real world. But I know that if you are pouty in a corner, and you have a boyfriend or an interested person in the room that's an opposite sex male, they're gonna come up to you and say like, "Well, what do you need? What's going on?
See,
are
I don't
you okay?"
Do that.
Okay. Well, do you?
I would be like,
most men reward crying.
So much as you love somebody or care for them deeply, you would want to console that person.
Men reward crying because women reward it too. you are, you know, squeaky wheel. Like, you're going to get a lot of attention if you are pouty.
And you're saying that that's yourself. What Victoria F. was doing?
No, I'm saying that everyone, and the women tell all, Chris Harrison said to Peter, is it true? Do you reward, I think he said reward crying. Right?
I see.
What did he say?
Yeah, or something like maybe just horse. Drama.
Okay. Yeah, he rewards drama. And I don't think it's fair as if no other bachelor, all bachelors do that we've seen. It's just, I think this whole episode was cut weird. This whole season was cut differently so that you couldn't really make sense of what was happening. Because, okay, so could you discern when the women started talking over each other who was talking for whose side? Because I could. I actually could.
I feel like they were strategically set more so than they have been in the past. Usually there are sides, but I feel like this time they were interspersed more.
No, I felt like they were in little tiny groupings.
Really?
Two of them were holding hands. Three of them were holding hands.
But they had Victoria sitting next to Kelsey.
Well, they're on the same side. Like,
no, she wasn't next to Kelsey. Kelsey was next to McKenna and Victoria F.
Oh, right. McKenna was...
And McKenna and Kelsey were, like, holding hands and...
Yeah. All my favorites were together on the same issues, which made me think, like, oh, I love this. I feel better when everyone I like agrees with what I already think, and they're all on the same side. So, Shianne, Savannah, Alaya, and Alexa... And then a girl named Marissa, who I guess was cut 9-1, but I don't remember, were all against Victoria P, Sydney, and Lexi. And I was like, yes, I love those, the first set of girls I said. And then in the McKenna thing, Kiara and Tammy were against McKenna. And I was like, yes, I love Kiara and Tammy. I love that. I think
your ability to pay attention to this show never ceases to amaze me.
Well, what are we doing then?
All I remember is like pink dress, red dress, white dress.
No, I wrote it down. Their names, Craig. Come on. Yes.
Giant bottle of champagne.
Okay. Here, Craig, let me make it a little bit easier for you. Victoria P. lied about Alaya.
Stop.
Uh-huh.
But okay, we got to get this podcast back on track. So you said that you thought this was really boring. Women tell all, but now you're saying how you're rooting for the whole thing. So which is it?
No. What bothers me is that there was no resolution. It was uneventful.
Yeah.
Because they didn't discern that sometimes Chris Harrison will be like, oh, you have something to say about this fight. Come on down and let's hash it out. Even if it's in short form. And in this case, all you got was here's the two sides, kind of, if you could sit through it and discern a little bit. When it came to Victoria P. lying and Sydney lying, the girls that stood up for the other side, I thought were right. And that was Cheyenne, Savannah, and Alaya, and Alexa. And when it came to McKenna being dramatic and crying, and Kelsey also being dramatic and crying, Kiara and Tammy were the ones I liked and were the ones who were like, this is wrong. You are annoying. You shouldn't be this unhinged on national TV. And then, you know, Ashley I came out. And then it's just that whole thing bothers me a lot because McKenna cynically uses actual issues to act like people are bullying her. But that's the new, we've talked about this before, that's the new power dynamic. You know, it used to be, if you're a bully, then you have the upper hand. Now, if you accuse someone of bullying, you have the upper hand, even if they're not bullying you.
Okay.
And I think that's worth saying in that, I don't know, McKenna and to a lesser extent, Kelsey, but definitely Victoria P, are all using these new ways of, like, manipulating people.
Okay. Where does Tammy fall into this network?
She's annoyed with it. She fights against it. She's like, She even said, did you just rehearse that? How many times did you rehearse that speech? Totally. 100%.
Yeah, I enjoyed that specific call out because, you know, like, McKenna's like, I definitely didn't. It was like, no, you did. There's no way you didn't.
Uh-huh. Right. And it's the same thing that McKenna did last time. She's like, I am a strong woman. And, you know, like, spring is here, whatever those motivational posters say. Like,
yeah, that she was looking for love, but what she found is that she loved herself the whole time.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. Did she really say that?
She said something along the lines of, like, yeah, she was looking for love, but she has now come to love herself.
Oh, my God. She actually said that. That is so depressing.
Yeah, it was her goodbye speech when she was kicked off after the rose ceremony. And she was talking about Peter. So, yeah, it was in that episode. Right. Not this women tell all, but, yeah, she did say.
Was that before or after that Americans need to go to Canada to learn how to be nice?
Right.
I did like that absolutely no one applauded that line.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't know applaud it.
Do you know what country you're in, McKenna? This is America.
The Chris Harrison was like, and shout out to our top row where we have five guys from Southwestern City College in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, were caught off guard and they just stared.
Well, every time they went to that cut of like the group of guys, I was like, oh my God, did they just separate them from their girlfriends? Like, I don't know why there was this this little bleacher section of guys. And then they said, like,
they arrive for the taping and they like are segregated off. They're like, oh man, we'll put you in here.
Yeah.
We want to make a lot it look of strange like stuff okay. going on in the audience. It wasn't our usual audience.
I think we should point out again, like we do every time, they give them those
signs. The signs were too good this time.
Right.
The signs were wild. Like the lettering on them was very good.
Perfect.
But yeah, just also some of the things that they were saying, I was like, who would write this?
Like, yeah.
Who would make this at home and then bring it to a taping being like, yeah, I fully believe this.
And not crease it or like, you know, make it into a roundy thing. Like they were too flat.
Yeah,
makes sense. Well, I was getting to somewhere with their actual use of issues as stand-ins for their controlling behavior.
Wait, are we going to talk about the trolling segment now?
Well, yeah, but okay, maybe I'll give my side of what I thought it was, and now you just gave yours, which is like I didn't think that.
Okay.
So when I heard that segment, especially because they brought out Rachel Lindsay, I was thinking that they were trying actively not to use the word racism, which defeats the point of their whole segment.
Right.
Because everyone can claim harassment, I'm sure. But racism is a different level. And they kept saying the word hate. It's not quite about hate if it's not racism. So I don't know. And it's so funny because there's also bachelor sanctioned hate. You know, when they make fun of people's accents and their tics,
right?
Like Juan Pablo, that's discrimination and racism and no one cared. So I'm very annoyed and confused by what they were actually trying to say.
Yeah.
What did you guys read when you heard that part?
I fast forwarded through some of it. Not going to lie. I did appreciate that they were sort of really demonstrating like how terrible the comments that some of these women get are, right? Because I think that there is probably a disconnect between when people hear like, oh, they're getting harassed or they're getting bullied online or something like that, that they don't realize like just how bad some of it is. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to bring up like just like some of the comments, especially about Sydney that they were reading, were like, whoa, that is, I think so. Because Sydney was like crying a lot and people were hugging her at one point. So I thought that they were mostly about her.
I think they were just random. Because, I mean, I think she was, the whole time she was kind of in in trying to make sure no one calls her out mode. So she was always trying to be like, oh, like I'm saying, like the upper hand is always the one being bullied right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if she acted a little bit more affected than everyone else, then they couldn't say anything to her.
Huh. Yeah, I assumed some of them were about Sydney at least. But yeah, there were some pretty racist and terrible things. And then Tammy mentioned that she got like death threat emails from mm-hmm. people. So I feel like on the one hand, it was good to sort of bring to light that like this is one aspect of like they get a certain level of fame and like Instagram influencer-y kind of things, but that they also are subjected to a lot of other stuff that comes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it also felt like it felt like an after school special. You know what I mean? That like,
yeah.
Especially because they're like, we've brought in Rachel Lindsay to discuss these serious issues with you.
Right.
That, yeah, it felt very much like watching some sort of like thing that you would watch in health class in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what bugged me is, you know, I don't like Disney for a few reasons, and I do not go to Disneyland for that reason. The reason being I don't like Disney. Disney controls almost everything now, right? Because they bought Fox, theaters, television, they own most of what we see. And this is the best they could do. That's all I could think about was this is the biggest media company in the world, owns every kind of media you could possibly imagine, has the brightest creative types and managers and executives and everything. And this is what they put together is a 5-minute segment, 15 minutes to the end of a 2-hour episode. It's like, this is all we're ever going to get from Disney on this subject is these little bits. Because they've done it before. They've read tweets before.
Maybe, but I felt like it was like tongue-in-cheek, like the way Jimmy Kimmel does it, if I remember. I don't remember, though.
It was less serious. Like, this one was set up to be serious, which I guess I liked. But, I mean, this is what we're going to get, EZR. This is it.
Either go all the way, don't. I mean, it just seemed half-assed.
That's like, my that's point.
The whole, yeah,
that's my point. I mean,
you can't say it. You can't say racism.
Yeah, exactly. And they can't show Victoria F. at all. They made sure that she was not shown at all in any of the cutaways.
Just to make
LA pointed that out.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's just to make a blanket statement that satisfies us who are superficially concerned, but doesn't offend those of us who are the racists in the audience.
It's just groupthink. This is Disney. They're at no risk of anything. What, the Star Wars rides aren't getting as much people there as they want? Oh, ooh, big deal, right? It's like, was Disney going to fold? No. They're in no danger of anything. They have the brightest minds, the brightest executives. They own everything. If they came out and said, stop it, and you trolls are a bunch of losers, you know what? There might actually be some change. But they're not going to do that because that's not what giant mega media companies do. So this is what we get. We get this half-assed little thing at the end so they can say they did it. And it just upsets me.
Well, I don't think them saying anything definitively would change anything.
You never know. Things shift. There's these big issues of life. Cut this out, you know, or we're going to cut out things you like because it's affecting our intellectual property.
Yeah, if they said some kind of material consequence.
Yeah. So why don't they?
Different. Well, I don't expect anything out of a corporation.
Well, exactly. I know you don't, and I don't either. And that's the part of the problem. And it just upsets me that this isn't TBS doing this. Where, you know, it's like, oh, they gave it the college try. This is ABC Disney, and they didn't even give it a college try.
Is Ted Turner still as rich as we think he is? As he used to be.
I don't know. I don't think TBS has anything to do with Turner anymore.
It's called Turner Broadcast.
Yeah, but it's owned by Warner.
Oh.
Time Warner.
I thought it was still him. Like, he owned CNN and...
I think he
did. Did y'all ever go to... Ted Turner had a series of restaurants. I think they might have closed down now.
Oh,
but no. I went to one...
Turner World?
A decade ago. No, they were like... Ted Turner's like bison burger or something like that.
So you and I met in person in Ohio, right? Did you go to that bison place?
No, I didn't.
I did for lunch and it screwed me up. I don't know if you remember me coming back one afternoon, and I was like sweating and couldn't put down water. They're like, you have to try this bison burger. I'm like, okay. They're like, it's locally made and sourced. And I'm like, okay. It tasted like I was eating pure salt.
I don't trust a lot of the food in that small town in Ohio. That one place that everyone went to a lot, the sandwich place, that place was good. Everywhere else was like very suspect.
Sorry.
But yeah, Ted Turner. I'm going to Google right now to get the exact name of his thing, because I went to
Ted Turner's Northern
Virginia a long time ago. Not a long time ago, like 12 years ago. But it was like specifically some sort of bison burger restaurant. Ted's Montana Grill.
Fancy.
It's still open in Arlington, Virginia. And there it's an old West style steakhouse chain known for its burgers and chops made from bison.
There you go. All right.
See. So just bringing up that Ted Turner may not be making money from other things, but he is definitely still making money from his bison.
Yes.
Thanks.
It's good to know. So EZR, we're in total agreement here, right? I mean,
it's the same at this point. If they had said racism, the word racism or racist, as anything else, that's all they needed to say. And that would not cost them anything.
Right.
But because it's controversial to say that, they would have had a bigger headline about it this morning.
Bachelor Masters podcast is taking a stand.
No, we're not. I mean, we are, but it doesn't matter. You know, like you said, if they don't shift, what they could do is shift things and say, we treated what I kind of wish they did. Here's my big issue. This is why I bring it up, but why I think it's hypocritical. Why don't they stop making fun of Juan Pablo's accent and his tick to say it's okay? Because when your English is a second language, you have a go-to thing that you say. Right. As like I hear a lot of people say like, okay. You know, that's a, it's a tick or whatever. What would you call that?
Yeah, that's fine.
And so when they have these like punching bags as standards, and it's very much related to culture, I wish we could go back, like when you said, Craig, when they have an all Bachelor network where we're just watching them on screens, and then Disney they'll show Plus reruns, you know, on weekends when they're just hanging out by the pool, and then they'll re-show his Juan Pablo season. I would love to go into that season and really pick apart the cultural nuances that are there, because the girls were so rude to him. The production team was so rude to him. And he's not the only one. I think there's been times in the past where contestants have been picked apart that way. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, you know, definitely the Hispanic ones, the African-American ones, and other people from other countries. There was someone from Iran that really stands out to me as having been picked on because of cultural reasons. So they need to go back and rectify these things, because they're still on it. They're still continuously like harping on it. Even the choice of the new Bachelorette, which I kind of want to get
to. I was just going to say, I was formulating a segue in my head as you were talking. I was going to say like, and just when you think it can't get any worse.
Yeah.
They picked the whitest woman on the planet to be the next Bachelorette. Just
a little bit older. So what? Okay.
She's exactly that diversity for Actually, you. I think she's technically maybe a year old. You're younger than me. But yeah.
She's younger than you.
By a year.
Yeah, but that's not saying much. You know, like, I mean, that's not like, oh, whoa, dang then. You know, she's not, no one is criticizing her for her age.
Right.
What we're criticizing her for. Okay, so I'm going to go on a little rant here. And then you guys can jump in. Craig, so when I said
let's back up here real quick.
Okay.
Before you go on your end. So I think we need to talk about your Instagram post. Is that, let's do that first. Part of your rant?
I actually haven't read anything on it. I'm sure it's bad. It's not part of my thing.
Okay. Well, so EZR posted on @BachelorMasters Instagram. picture of Claire and then a reference to boomers.
We all know
how I feel about boomers. Don't get me wrong. But it just didn't make any sense because she's Gen Y. She's almost a millennial, technically. So I think a lot of the comments were like, okay, we understand that you're like, she's super white and we're getting that from your post, but what's this got to do with boomers?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Okay. So starting at the beginning, I have never really disliked a bachelor before. I've disliked bachelors because I feel men on this show tend to be more cynical and on it for their careers more than women. But I have not liked the reason they were chosen. So Becca, for example, I feel like she got a consolation prize for Ari breaking up with her. So they chose her. I don't think that's a good way to go. Deanna Pappas, which Craig, we always reference. She's the one who got the first ever, like the old switcheroo, you know, she was rejected. And so she got made the bachelorette. And that's the first time that's ever happened. That thing you hate. Does that make sense?
What thing I hate?
You hate that they always choose one of the contestants.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So, and I didn't like that they chose her. I liked her. But I think everyone at home, the reason they chose her is because everyone at home thought that she, quote, deserved to win. And when she didn't, they're like, let's give her the bachelorette. And I didn't, that's not a reason to get the bachelorette. Anyway, so I do dislike Claire as the choice, though, because she's entitled, she's ridiculous, she's what the modern parlance calls a Karen. Definitely speaks to all the managers. Yeah.
You know about this, Caitlin, the Karen meme?
Yes, I'm very familiar with the Karen meme.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's definitely one of these people that's always talking to managers about why there's something is like slightly wrong. And this is not just a feeling I get from her. This is who she's been since I've seen her on entire shows.
Wait, let's go into the waiter talk to you a little bit. What did she say to the waiter?
What did she say? I don't know. She's like, I can taste the pickle juice on this. I don't know. I can imagine her. She's oh my God.
We've seen her
on four shows.
You know, so, go ahead.
So I think that in the way that we are criticizing boomers, it's not about the age range they were, it's not about the age they are, it's not about the years they were born or even the time they lived through. Yeah. It's about the entitlement.
Okay. So see, that I get because it's a boomer mentality. And I think you actually wrote that.
I did say that.
I mean, I like that the memes you post to the Instagram are more like they take a little bit more thought than the average meme. Mm-hmm. But I think that's too much of a stretch for the average. It's too much of a stretch for people that don't like meticulously listen to our podcast.
Because
no one's going to be like, oh, she meant by boomer, she meant like how boomers act and the okay boomer meaning. And then that means that. That connects to Claire because she has some of those same nuances that the boomers do. It's too much. It's too much.
Second
the meme
generation
should have said that. The meme should have said she is like a boomer because she blah blah blah.
I did. I said boomer mentality. I don't want to expand. I have no. Go ahead, Caitlin. What were you going to say?
So I was going to ask Craig if he thinks that the reason why some of the commenters were upset is because they read boomer mentality as you making fun of her age.
I think that's probably true. There were people, yeah, because a lot of comments were like, boomer, there's nothing wrong with her age, or what's this got to do with age, or something like that. I just think there were too many things going on in your meme.
Well, that's too bad. It's not about age at all.
But you could make a meme where, like, on the left side it lists all the problems of boomers, and then on the right side it lists all the problems of Claire, and they'd be the same. That would make sense. See,
I could, but
you don't even have to bring up the boomers. She's like Gen Y. You could talk about all the problems of Gen Y. I'm Gen Y, and I know, we're like all distracted and aloof and
What matters to me is the entitlement of okay.
Yes.
I said a lot entitled. So I don't know how I honestly like it doesn't I don't care.
Okay. So here's what you do. You go
no, I don't care.
Get a dictionary and take a scan of the entry for entitlement and then just put her picture in there and post that.
Yeah. All right.
That would be see how clear that is?
Well, okay. So
see, I get your point, EZR, because I think that there are a lot of Karens who are boomers. I think that generation has a lot of Karens in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there is some crossover there. I was going to say, my mom is totally a Karen and she is a boomer. and I spent a good portion of my life being like, no, mom, please right. don't complain about this thing to the waiter.
Exactly. It's not worth it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'll take it into consideration, Craig.
Right, thanks.
Or you can just send it to me. Send it to me, and I will do it. But
you don't listen to when I send things to you. Well, I have a backlog sometimes. Of things I've sent to you.
Sometimes they're just like, this, and I'm like, I don't understand what you're trying to say, and I don't have time to figure it out. Okay.
Just post the Bachelor Masters votes.
Votes?
I sent you a picture with a vote sticker on my shirt.
Oh.
There's nothing needs to be qualified there. You can just post it. See, this is why I don't send you things.
Well, you had an idea for a meme, not a vote. I mean, come on. We're all voting. It's fine. We'll live. It's too late now. The polls are closed. Okay.
Yeah. My primary isn't for another 6 weeks anyway.
So. Oh, right.
Hey, now you know what it's like to live in California where your vote doesn't count.
Right, right. Yeah. People have dropped out by the time, normally. Well, it's true for us too. Okay. Here's where I think she could be a little bit redeemable. She is completely unhinged, which people don't remember, which makes her entertaining from a producer angle, right? Mm-hmm. But to my point, I don't like giving entitled people a platform. And again, it has nothing to do with age. I'm totally okay with someone older. Okay, so let me play you a clip. Everyone keeps referencing. Remember how she told off Juan Pablo? And a lot like Victoria P, this speech that she gives is so vindictive and petty. And by the way, I edited it for time.
Okay.
Charlene,
mm-hmm.
didn't have the feelings for you. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Andy did the same thing. You had every opportunity, like those other girls did,
mm-hmm.
to tell me exactly how you felt.
Do you know how I feel?
Does it matter to me?
Okay. Okay.
No.
So that's Chris Harrison at the end asking her if she's okay. She's like, no, even though she just told him off in the worst way. So what happened there was Juan Pablo broke up with her, and then she felt the need to say, well, guess what? None of the other girls liked you. Real mature. Okay. And then secondly, she was like, what'd she say? You know, he lets her speak, and she's like, I'm not done talking yet. I also want to tell you that you are not good. You're not going to be a good dad to my kids, even though the guy already has a kid. Like the way she says it, it's just a horrible lady. This is just from that clip. I would never want to see her. And then we saw her act that way again. Remember Winter Games?
Mm-hmm.
When she dated that paperclip guy?
He looked Benoit? Like
Benoit. Thank you. And totally rejected him.
Benoit's a name I remember.
Right. Rejected him like 5 times and then got with him and then didn't. The guy was totally duped by her in my eyes. So I don't know. Who I thought was in the running, according to a lot of Twitter I saw, it was Tia, Tayshia, and Kelsey. Kelsey would be a disaster, much on par with Claire. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Tia would have been. I like Tayshia a lot, too.
Well, Caitlin,
so I don't know what happened.
Much like Madison, you're a virgin when it comes to Claire, because you weren't watching the shows back then. So
no, I never heard of her until this week. Some people started talking about her because she was becoming the Bachelorette. So when I heard some of the rumors, it was like, I don't really know much about Tia either, because that was also before my time. But I loved Tayshia. So I was like, I would love to see her be the Bachelorette. Yeah. I was actually rooting for her when they first selected Hannah B. I was like, oh, I was hoping it would be Tayshia. And then I really liked Hannah B's season. But I was kind of disappointed, because I feel like Tayshia would have been a good Bachelorette. And I don't know any of these other ladies, so I don't really have opinions, I guess, on them yet. I do think Kelsey would have been a mess, but I don't think she is entitled in the way that it seems like Claire is entitled, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think Kelsey has much, much lower self-esteem than Claire seems to.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hmm. And Claire's been, and everyone keeps referencing it. So everyone online keeps saying, hey, we're so lucky we finally have a Bachelorette that's, like, you know, slightly older and isn't just a 22-year-old influencer. Like, when has there been a Bachelorette that's a 22-year-old influencer? Claire is that person. That's all she's done since she's been on The Bachelor. She's an influencer. She has a check mark next to her name. She's not, like, some, like, you know, she's not any different than a 22-year-old influencer. Yeah. She's still mentally 22. What's the difference? Boomer and mentally 22.
Normally I would say, Ezra, you're really going after Clara without knowing much about her, but that's not true, because we know so much about her because she's been on the show four times.
Four.
Yeah,
that's which a means lot it to doesn't work with. For her, which means the show is not going to be good for her.
Right.
And it seriously all comes back to entitlement, because that's how she acted with Benoit. She was like, dating a guy that she shouldn't have dated.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I don't want to date him anymore.
Either you or I have to go back into the Bachelor Master archives, because I remember you doing a really good take on Claire when she was hooking up with Benoit.
Well, I already didn't like her. Right. I remembered her.
It's just been stuck in my mind ever since she was announced that, like, I remember EZR did a really good bit on her. Mm. So maybe I'll go try to dig that out.
Mm.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you and you won't post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Actually, it would make it, just on the side note, that you do want to post audio clips on Instagram, right?
Sure, yeah.
So that would be a good one if I found it.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway,
I'll cut that out.
Yeah. No one, like, age is like, doesn't. It's so ridiculous. You know, people are... No, wait a minute, Craig. Now, I do have something to say about that. People are focusing in on me supposedly remarking on her age more than anything else. It's definitely... They're looking at what they want to see because they like Claire. And I will wager... I mean, it's not possible to find out that most of these people are like Claire. Are entitled mommy types.
Well, so, okay... Back to your Instagram post. Not only did you call her a boomer mentality, but you called her a mombie.
Yeah.
She's not. Don't you have to be a parent to be a mombie?
You can be a Karen and not be named Karen. What's the difference? She acts like a mombie.
So I had to look up mombie. I knew it was a word, but I didn't really know what it meant. I don't really understand where the word comes from, like the etymology.
I think it's mom and zombie. I don't know.
Mom and zombie. I mean, like, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're just like. Go ahead, tell me what you found out.
No, I was just laughing at Craig being like, "I don't understand where these words came from." It was like it's literally the words "mom" and "zombie" put together.
Okay, Mommy. Okay, I'm with you. But what is What does a zombie have to do with?
Well, what's the etymology you did find?
Me? It just said. It just said. Urban Dictionary just says it's a, you know, it's a mom that is like. You know, don't stand too close to my kid, and don't, you know, like, and then the phrase they always have is like, you know, that girl was cool until she became a mommy, you know.
Yeah, it normally just means someone that's overprotective or like hypervigilant, kind of like a Karen, you know. And then
but why
the zombie part, I think it's because they're all the same. where they're all like blindly kind of following the like, don't talk to my daughter that way. Like,
so I'm just saying, all I'm saying, my thesis statement of the last 10 minutes of this is just to say that it's asking a lot of an Instagram user to throw Mombi at somebody who's not a mom.
Look, people are, you're not a born a Karen. You earn it through lots of like disgusting behavior, and as do Mombies well before they become moms. And I think I called her a wannabe Mombi, which I don't think is unfair.
Okay. All right. I think that makes sense. We just spent a lot of time on a single Instagram post, but there's a lot to unpack.
Well, there was. And I stand by it. I'm doubling down because I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read the comments because I had like 200 and something notifications.
Well, okay. See that? Well, that's a whole other issue. It's like, if you're the first one to say, if you can't take it, don't dish it. So you can't post something like that.
I'm definitely not the first one to say that. I would not say that. I don't care. Like, I'm leaving.
Well, you can't post something like that and then not engage with the comments afterwards. That's like half the fun.
I can sure absolutely do.
Yeah, you don't need to. I don't want, Craig, I feel like saying engaging with the comments is half the fun is sort of a wild opinion to me.
Yeah.
Comments from strangers are not fun.
Oh, really? Maybe I should get the login and I'll do the comments and go crazy. The posts.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, really?
I'm allowed
to be up for that?
Yeah, you call it like, I think you told me once, you're like, it's social media.
Yeah,
like,
that's why they said call that it to me social once. Media. Yeah.
And I could argue that it's the most isolating thing we do as humans right now. So I don't understand. It's social media, but it's not. That's just its name. It's isolating media.
Well, only because you don't participate. If you participated, you might think differently.
No, if people are attacking you based on what they think they interpret, then that's not engaging. That's not truly engaged. That's not true engaging.
There was only a couple that were like what I would call trolling or, you know, just forget about it. There were some honest, engaging comments that I felt could warrant a reply.
Go crazy.
Well, now it's too late. Instagram, I mean, a day in the life of Instagram is...
No, that's not true.
Right. I'll think about it. Okay. I got enough on my plate as is.
Yeah, see, they don't offer.
See, Twitter so far has been nothing but friendly.
I did not join a Bachelor podcast to make friends. I knew I had differing opinions, and it's basically because, I mean, honestly, I think Claire is so popular because the audience is Claire's,
right?
Mostly.
Yeah,
right?
I don't disagree with that.
So,
like, maybe not a majority, but a plurality.
Yeah, and it's definitely changing because there are people that have helped to change it. But, you know, a lot of these people that are standing up for Claire right now are the kinds of people that didn't watch Rachel Lindsay's season as a protest.
All right. Yeah. We're not here to make friends.
How would you all feel about having a fashion roundup?
I didn't look at their outfits.
Let's do it. Yay. Way to save a podcast episode, Caitlin.
This is the fashion roundup.
Craig likes to talk about the people they're wearing.
So there was one thing that I've thought a couple of episodes and I haven't brought it up because it's not like, you know, I mean, it's just fashion. It's not a huge deal. But I don't know if y'all have noticed so there's a shoe trend, and I've seen it on Love Island too, the latest, like season 6 of Love Island that's on kind of now, basically, of women wearing these clear plastic shoes. Have you noticed these?
I did notice Kelsey wearing that.
So Kelsey's worn them. Hannah Ann wore them in the clip last night at the rose ceremony with her dress. So it's like shoes where the pump part is like clear plastic. Sometimes they have straps that are also clear plastic. The heels are clear plastic, you know. And I think the thing that they're supposed to do is like make your legs look longer, because right. it's sort of like an illusion thing. Like wearing like a nude pump is like an illusion thing. I think it's a similar deal. I've just noticed that they've become really popular, and I'm sort of like, I imagine they're very uncomfortable. So I notice them a lot when people wear them.
Mm-hmm. So uncomfortable. I mean, I don't even wear shoes like that, but the plastic sweatiness, the like way it
yeah.
onto you. Well,
don't girls, young girls wear like jelly, or are they called jelly shoes?
Yeah, they're like they're jellies for older people, definitely.
Yeah. Jellies for adults. So I noticed those and wanted to comment on them.
That's interesting. Now that you mention it, I think I've seen a few in Instagram posts.
There's definitely been some, like, I know a couple of women have worn them in this season. Like, Hannah Ann's worn them a few times, and Kelsey's worn them. I think Victoria F. has worn them too, but I'm not positive. So yeah, keep an eye out for clear plastic shoes. They're a big trend in 2020, I guess. I also wanted to point out Kiara's earrings at the Women Tell All. The snake earrings. I really liked those. Yeah. And just like immediately clocked them to be like, oh, those are great earrings. I like that.
She's so cute. I really wish she had gotten more airtime. I remember. Yeah. She's just so like, at first I thought she was just kind of harmless and bubbly, but then she really stood up for, I think it was Tammy, and I'm like, yes, you know what? You're it. I loved her.
Well, there was also the woman that was wearing three different earrings.
Gold. Oh, I didn't notice.
The woman who said that she was pressured to straighten her hair, but she left it as like...
Was it Alexa?
Yeah. And she had three gold earrings, one on one side, two on the other, and they were of increasingly large, like square shapes.
No, they're one earring. That's just the style. You scared me.
The one on the right was a short, it was like a bar, up and down bar, and then on the other side was a circle, and then another one was a square.
Oh well, you never know. They're just
it was cool.
It's asymmetrical that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice them, but now I'll look again. I did notice, and you probably noticed this, Craig, a lot of the women at Women Tell All were wearing pants.
You know, I was focusing a lot on the people in the background, so there was a lot of interesting choices there, a lot of floral patterns and stuff. So I wasn't too keyed into the pantsuit, but I did notice lots of center cut haircuts. Center parted.
Yeah, those are still definitely happening.
So now I'm all judgy because of what Easier said, how when you have a center part, it's like you have to have you said this, Caitlin, where you have to have a very symmetrical face. No, you didn't say that. Your hairstylist said that.
Yes. Well, this reminds me of...
Anytime I saw a center part, I was like, is your face symmetrical?
A lot of them do have symmetrical enough faces, I think, on this show to be able to get away with it. But I was thinking of when, so I used to have a nose ring, and I don't anymore, but I remember when I first got it done, I was talking to the piercer, and they were like, which side do you want it in? And they were like, I would put it in this side, because like the other side is your better half of your nose, basically. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not symmetrical.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, I did notice Alea was wearing a black sparkly pantsuit, very low cut in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I clocked that been... one.
With Alea, like, I wonder if she would have been the Victoria.
Would have been.
Yeah, it's some of those. It's definitely one of those what ifs. They don't happen every season. Where if she had just, it's so funny this season how the front runners were almost completely removed from the drama because Peter helped them out. But you know, Hannah Ann, if she hadn't been liked by Peter, she might have been like right in the center of all that mess. And I feel like Alaya, if she had played her cards a little differently, she might have been in Victoria F's seat. Mm-hmm. And this one feels very circumstantial. I know we're not talking about fashion right now, but it's just I look at Alaya and I see her, the future that didn't happen. You know, I'm like, mm-hmm. it's kind of sad or not. I don't know. It's just kind of like, whoa, sliding doors or something.
Yeah, I think it is something to be said about Peter's top three almost seemed like you could see them coming to mm-hmm. a certain extent, right? Like, especially Hannahann and Madison, who have been like favorites the whole time. But that, even thinking about like Victoria F, like there are so many other women who probably could have been in that slot. And right. it just seemed almost random that it ended up being her, right? That like, yeah, it could have been Alaya, could have been somebody like Natasha or like, yeah. So yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
I'm trying to think if there's any other.
Well, before Madison came back, there was this empty feeling I had. Hold on a second.
Sorry, it sounds like we're in an episode of Dragnet.
I know. Hold on a second. Oh, okay. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Before Madison came back, I had this empty feeling of seeing Hannahann and Victoria F there. Like, you know, those girls, they're not it. They're not for him. So I yeah. got very like, oh, something's wrong. And then when I saw Alaya, I felt it again. Like, I was like, she should have been there. Life could have been something else. Like one of yeah. those movies where they redo it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like this is very, I was thinking when they were waiting for Madison to show up and it wasn't totally like, oh my God, what if she doesn't show up? And I was kind of like, does he just give Victoria F and Hannahann the roses and move them forward if Madison isn't there? And it was kind of like, yeah, it felt very unsatisfying in a way, because to my mind, mm-hmm. I don't think either of those women make much sense to be with Peter. Like, it feels like Hannahann is like a security blanket for Peter, right? That he knows she's not going to reject him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That like that thing where he talks about being afraid that at the end he'll be like, oh, do you want to marry me? And the person is like, no. It was like, you don't have to worry about that with Hannahann. She has uh-huh. repeatedly been like, I don't care what you do. I will be with you.
Yeah.
So,
but she might not mean it, but she definitely says
she it. She might not mean it, but she definitely says it. So I feel like to a certain extent, she's there because she has like no drama. She's very easy to get along with, that he feels confident in sort of like, well, she is not going to reject him, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with Victoria and Madison, it is more of a like, well, she could potentially reject him. I feel like Victoria F. got to a point where she definitely wasn't going to. But that I didn't believe her at all when she was like, oh my God, I'm so in love with Peter. And it was like, you're not great at acting.
No. Well, even like I was saying, even the way she said, I love that boy, like on the couch, it was such yeah. a good precursor for her next relationship where she's trying to, you know, make sure that a guy thinks she's serious, that she's trying to ply away from one of her friends, trying to make it seem like, you know, actually, I have been in love, thank you, and I'm it's fine, you know, I'm just trying to get over it. It's just such a good story. Like, oh yeah, I did this, look what I said, but nothing mm-hmm. actually fits. Mm-hmm. She's totally playing a game. So interesting. I can't wait to see what her actual life will be like. She blocked us early on, so I can't follow her. And I had nothing against her. It's Craig.
Wait, Victoria?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I really do want to follow her because I'm like, you are going to have one interesting life, little lady. Like, I can't wait to see what you're up to. Because she's going to, you know, she's just going to end up pregnant next year. And then she's going to leave the guy. Like, I want to know.
Yeah, I want to know what country music star she's going to end up with.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, temporarily. She's definitely loses interest when they're interested. I can't wait for what I can't wait for in fashion terms is the listen to your heart, because there are people that actually don't look like we're saying, floral patterns and parted down the middle hair. Like, they look actually... They're a little bit, from the preview I half saw, they look a little bit different, like, than uh-huh. everyone else.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. It seems like people are responding well to the, I guess, preview, I guess you'd call it, teaser. So, I'm just wondering, how much of our lives it's going to take up to podcast about it.
I am not interested in listening to that dang Lady Gaga song so many times.
Oh, it's, I know.
God. It's only for that song, for the songs in that movie. That's the only reason we're doing this, I think.
Yeah, no, I had the exact same thought you did. This is scary. I was sitting when they were showing it, and that Lady Gaga thing came on. I was like, I know that there was an executive watching the Academy Awards, saying, "That's a show right there. That's the Bachelor show."
Yeah, I'm sure they could look at anything and think that. They're like The Mandalorian. There we go, Star Wars Bachelor. We got it.
Oh, I mean, that's a crossover I would watch.
Yeah, like role play, like furry.
Star Wars Bachelor.
Oh, yeah, cosplays Bachelor.
Yeah.
Comic-Con Bachelor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we should pitch that.
We just did.
We had lunch at the table next to Mike Fleiss. We have an inn.
Yeah. We definitely did.
Yeah, you call his office and you're like, I once sat a table away from him. Put me through.
Yes, sir.
Do you know who we are?
Right. We did overhear him telling a contestant, like, it doesn't matter if he chooses you or not. You don't have to stay with him.
It's true. Those were his exact words.
Those were his exact words.
Yeah. So, okay, let's end on a good note. Let's end there. Good job, y'all. I feel like we once again did well with not much to work with. But I think the next two episodes, Monday, Tuesday, are going to be actually really good. So we'll have to wait and see what the big reveal is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't wait to find out what the big reveal is and who Peter's mom is crying about.
Totally figure that one out. But there's got to be more to it than that.
Imagine if they cut that scene and it's just never mentioned again, like the sex in the hot springs.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.